1450 AM, WKXL, 1039 on the FM dial in the Concord area, 101.9 FM in the Manchester area. It is In Touch with Kale and Cormier, Ken Kale, Jane Cormier. Jane, how are you today?
I am doing swell, and how are you?
I am doing great, and this is going to be a freewheeling kind of program. Freewheeling kind of program.
Are they ready for it?
I don't know. I don't know, but we will find out over the next hour or so. And, prior to, starting the program today, we were talking off the air about a recent New York Times editorial suggesting that Joe Biden not run for re-election in 2024, and he should say that he is not running in 2024.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Wow. Well, things are happening behind the scenes for sure.
And this was the New York Times now.
That's right.
About as Democrat as you can get.
That's right.
Yes.
And so you know that people are talking behind the scenes. I think it's tremendous fear about what's about to happen in the elections. I think that they know that the polls are definitely not in their favor. And that's why they're saying he needs to say it, so that there's a stopgap from the bleeding that is happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, there is much concern, obviously, about the midterm elections coming up. And most of that concern is on the Democratic side.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, make no mistake, the Republicans have their own issues. One cannot deny it. But the truth is we have a president administration in office that is, in my opinion, not doing the people's work and not being proactive to what we need to start paying attention to in this country. I mean, if you want to take one thing that really, really gets most folks, it's the gas pumps.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Horrible. Yeah. What's happening there. And no matter how they try to make it sound, it's not a good thing. And I think it's just demonstrative of how many things are going wrong right now, economically speaking, for instance.
Oh, I mean, inflation is rampant. We're talking about perhaps passing what they're calling a $3 trillion infrastructure bill, but it's going to be a lot more than that.
Of course.
And the vast majority of that bill is not infrastructure as we think of it.
Right.
It is not roads, bridges, railroads, you name it, as we commonly think of infrastructure. It's a lot of social infrastructure.
Mostly.
Yes,
social.
Mostly.
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah. Mostly.
And that's common, right? We've seen that again and again and again. But the little pieces that you'll hear on progressive media is that, you know, this is going to just make America all brand new and shiny and all good things,
yeah.
Right? No, it's going to make you really feel the hit in your checkbook. Because there's no way, folks, that this kind of spending happens without you paying the bill.
Despite the fact that Democrats, including the president himself, will say that it's all paid for.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. You're not going to feel this.
Yeah.
It's all paid for.
It. You know, this year, this past IRS, we've paid more in taxes than ever in history. Okay?
Yeah.
In this bill is also the hiring, I believe, of what they said, 18,000. If I'm not mistaken, new IRS agents. And while they say that this is for just getting those really rich people that don't pay their taxes, I don't think they really need 18,000 new employees in the IRS to do that. I think that in order to keep the flow coming in to the IRS, we're now going to start looking at the folks and finding out if they're actually paying what they should be paying in taxes. The money tree is our money. And there's no way that that government can spend hand and fist if they don't have our tax money. So it never is free. Never.
And who's going to be hit the worst in this bill? Should it pass? It may not, but should it, it's going to be the middle class.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. It's sad, isn't it? Because we're almost to the point now where the spending is so wildly crazy out of control that it's just like a, you kind of shrug, what's another $3 trillion, right? But the truth is there's a point where you can't make it back. There's only so much money that a middle-class family can bring to the table. There's only so many jobs you can have.
Correct.
So how do we manifest that? How do we make that where we have a normal life and we can have all the things that we want, but we can also know that we're taking care of the national debt? We haven't done that in decades. We all know it, many decades. We're spending, and we think that's all okay. But folks, it's our money. Don't forget that. They don't make that clear when they're talking about it.
Right. And you know, they will have you believe that it's all paid for.
Yeah.
You know, it's all stuff that's already been appropriated and what have you.
Yeah.
But it has not. And it's crazy for them to say that. And but, you know, they have most of the media in their corner.
Yes.
And that's the message that most people are going to hear.
That's right. And if you only hear the snippet, which is what they really like for you to hear, without any of the details to be able to show you how false that narrative is, you're going to think that that's the truth.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
That's called propaganda.
Because 95% of the media is in the Democratic corner.
How did that ever happen?
Well, you know, I think to a certain extent, it's not a new thing. It is not a new thing. I mean, you think about Walter Cronkite, and, you know, he was certainly a supporter of the Democratic Party.
Yes.
And so many like him in his era. So it's nothing that is, you know, a lot of people feel it's, you know, since Donald Trump has come on the scene. But that's not true at all. It has always been
that way.
It has.
It also leaned left.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's leaning left so much now that it's falling off, you know, the face of the earth. I mean, it's no longer, you know, being what they will call liberal. We're now really looking at socialistic policies coming into play.
And absolutely.
That's not okay.
No, it's not. But, you know, whatever the Democrats decide, that is the position that the most of the media is going to take.
Okay, but let us not forget.
And it is a propaganda wing of the Democratic Party.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally. There can be no doubt. But don't forget, and I say this as someone who in the past has supported Republican Party, they didn't get there by themselves. And while these policymakers, the Democrats, were foisting these leftist principles into our schools and into the, you know, into the airways, except for a small group, they were left unchecked. And now we're left with what we've got, right? And in the halls of Congress, how many times have we really, really seen Republicans, except for a handful now, really stand up and say in a big way, no, we're not doing that. It's hard. It's hard when you're the person that has that optional view to stand up and rally the troops behind you, so to speak.
Yeah, no,
it's hard.
Not an easy task.
No.
Whether it be on a local level or a national level.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, we have the midterms coming up in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
They're just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the candidates are out there, some announced, some on the fence at this point. But the polls overwhelmingly show that it's going to be a Republican takeover in the House and in the Senate of the United States.
Right.
And, you know, so how do you... You know, jive with, you know, we've seen it many times before, because normally at the midterms, the party that is the winner at the midterms is the one that lost the election 2 years prior to that.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
Yeah, it happens a lot. And I think it's going to happen this time around in an overwhelming fashion. And I think the Democrats can only look in the mirror and blame themselves and blame Joe Biden and others for some incredibly, I think, you know, bad moves, you know, from the day he took office, shutting down the Keystone Pipeline. We were energy independent under the Trump administration for the first time.
Don't bring Trump into it. That gets everybody going.
Well, it does, but the Democrats will always bring Trump into it.
Oh, don't
for
they
sure.
love it? Yes.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah.
And boy, I'll tell you what, as I drive the highways and especially the byways of New Hampshire, I see more and more Trump signs, mm-hmm. banners, yeah. you name it,
yeah.
shows of Trump support.
Yeah.
And I don't think, in my mind anyway, Jane, I don't think there's any doubt that he is going to run again in 2024. I don't yeah. think there's any doubt about it, given the fact that he's doing so much fundraising.
Yeah.
I mean, the fundraising, I have to admit, in all candor, I donated a very small amount of money. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, it was very small mm-hmm. to the Trump campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Once.
Mm-hmm.
And I continue to get probably 20 texts a day looking
really?
For more.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what about the thought that maybe he is trying to change the face of the election process, how that works, by being able to be the playmaker behind the stage?
I think he does want to be a kingmaker. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah.
I think
so
he wants to be a kingmaker.
Fundraising.
So it could be.
You know?
It could be.
But you know what? Here's the thing. We don't know if he's going to run or not, right? To me, I don't understand why both or either side are so focused on Trump. I mean, why are we even discussing that? Now, if he gets into the election, let the process play out. If there's a primary, let's have a primary. Let's let the process play out. But you know what? The left is just, they've got a thing about it.
Well, what they have to focus on, I think, instead of worrying about whether Donald Trump yeah. is going to run or not,
right.
they have to come up with a viable candidate. And right now, they have nothing.
Yeah, they
nothing.
Really don't.
I mean, you think of the bench that the Republicans have.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very deep bench.
Yeah, they do.
And talking about some senators and some governors mm-hmm. who are very viable, I think,
yep.
presidential candidates.
Agreed.
And who do the Republicans have? You could not name two.
Right.
In fact, you'd be hard-pressed to name one.
Maybe that's why they bring Trump into it, because
yeah.
they don't have a bench, so they'd rather polarize on the name of Trump. Watch all of the leftist media. In anything that you hear on TV and in print, just read it or listen, because I almost guarantee that you will hear something dropped about Trump.
Oh, no question.
Right? They're
no
talking
question.
About something else, and then all of a sudden it veers around and it comes back to Trump. And I always go, why do they do that?
And why? Because they don't have a bench.
That's
they
it.
Don't have a viable candidate.
You
they don't have
right.
one.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have one on the national scene.
Well, they're saying, what is it, Buttigieg? They're saying he's going to...
Give me a break.
He's really kind of fun to yeah. watch him dig his hole, though, yeah. when he starts talking about how they're going to spend this money
yeah.
from this bill. They're all evidently, you know, bowing down now, you know, because they think he's going to be the person that's going to determine how that money will be spent.
Yeah, and we have some of it coming here to New Hampshire.
Oh.
That's already arrived, even prior to this.
Yeah.
This... Build Back Better bill,
yeah.
Which is anything but, I think.
You're right.
You know, they've got to scale it down. I mean, if it was purely infrastructure
yeah.
that would be a different story.
Yeah.
And that's what Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Joe Manchin right now is the most powerful man in Washington.
He's looking pretty good
He's
right now.
He's a lot more powerful than the man in the Oval Office, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who is very feeble and very weak.
Yeah.
And, you know,
but
it's,
why
it's
did they even, you have to come back to the question, why did the political party seek to push that man onto the stage? What the heck was that?
I think the Democratic National Committee wanted Biden because they felt he was the only one in the field capable of knocking out Bernie Sanders.
You really think so?
I do.
Wow.
I do. And
wow.
I think that's the only reason because,
okay.
yeah, you know, Biden generally, I guess, liked by a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not his policies necessarily.
Right.
But, you know, there was, you
it's
know.
Not polarizing
he,
at that point.
Not as polarizing as he certainly has become. And he would have been a lot more polarizing if the mainstream media had mentioned even a little bit about what his son has been up to.
Yeah, and
with,
him.
With yes, collaborating with
colluding.
His father.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
So one would add, what would you think about the hypothesis that they wanted him out just as a front man and that they wanted someone else running the country? But
well,
we don't know who's doing that.
We don't think, you know, I think, you know, we know that he's not.
Right. We know that he's not. Right.
Right.
So maybe that was the plan.
Yeah.
Because we know Kamala is not doing
she's
anything.
She's not doing bupkis.
She's not even around except this
right.
crazy hysterical laugh thing.
Oh.
I mean, that's all she's known for.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, one has to wonder if this was planned that way.
It probably was.
That's
it probably
really
was. And they managed to pull it off.
Yep.
And they managed to, I don't think they even had to try to do this, but when it came to some of the things that came out about Hunter Biden,
mm-hmm.
A couple of months prior to the election, they were totally silenced
yep.
by social media, for one.
Shut you right off.
When the New York Post broke the story about the Hunter Biden laptop and all the connections that were on there,
amazing.
All of which have been verified many, many times.
And no one knows about
there's
it.
There's no fiction there.
Right.
This is all true. He has had ties to Ukraine, ties to Russia, ties to China, you name it. He has had ties to all of those countries and probably more that we don't know about.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But the regular folk didn't really know how deep that was, and it was made to sound like such a crazy, you know, conspiracy theory, and it wasn't crazy at all.
Not at all. The evidence is there.
Yeah.
There's a book out about it right now on the market that I really do want to read. It probably won't do any good in terms of, the mainstream media, talking about it.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, maybe it might get the word out to some who had not heard it before.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But at any rate, it's all very corrupt, in my opinion.
It is all very corrupt.
Because the Democratic Party and the mainstream media, there are a few exceptions, but the mainstream media and the Democratic Party are joined at the hip, and they are the propaganda wing of that Democratic Party, and they have been. It's not a new thing. It's not a new revelation. I'm not saying anything that most people don't realize.
Yeah, I think the depth of it, I think a lot of people don't realize, though.
Yeah.
Truly. You know when they say fake news?
Yeah.
I think they did us a big disservice. Because the psychological thing of fake news is almost like, ha-ha. But the definition of fake news is propaganda. And propaganda is a hot-button word where most people know means negative manipulation. And I think every time people heard fake news, that was like such a common thing that Trump was saying.
I think Trump coined that. Yeah.
Nobody cared about it anymore. But the truth was, is fake news was an active attempt to give false information to the citizenry of this country. That's propaganda 101.
Mm-hmm.
So fake news was a way to, it was ha-ha and it's kind of cute. But I think we lost some of our value of that word of propaganda in calling the press fake news.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, I hear you. That I think Trump coined that. But I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. I mean, the Democrats will probably forever be on the side of the Democrats.
Well, unless they can find a way for social media to start evening up, having, the other side of this conversation prevalent. Social media will determine whether or not, propaganda news 101 stays the voice that most people are hearing.
And you're right, because I think the majority of people in our society today get their news from social media, probably from social media more than any other source.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
Sometimes people get their news from things like Facebook. Now, that's frightening.
Sure. Some people, most people, right?
I saw it on Facebook. I go, stop.
Yeah.
You can't even think that that's valid. Go research it on something else. Go find out, right? I tell my kids all the time in school.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah.
TikTok.
Yeah. Can't do it.
No, you can't. But they do.
But see, it takes
time. And they
time.
Get away with it.
It takes time to find out what the story is.
Yeah.
And people, let's face it, we're not good with that right now.
We want to get the story behind the story, folks. Right. And that's why you listen to In Touch with Kalen Cormier right here on 1450 AM WKXL, 103.9 FM in the Concord area, and 101.9, our new signal in the Manchester area. Welcome back to Kalen Cormier, In Touch with Kalen Cormier. That's the proper title, folks, at 1450 AM WKXL, 103 FM in the Concord area, and 101.9 FM booming into downtown Manchester. And tell you what, Jane, all of New Hampshire very soon is going to become extremely political as get into the first of the year, and we'll have all the jockeying for position. Who is going to run for United States Senate to take on Maggie Hassan, whose term expires at the end of 2022? Who will be Maggie Hassan's successor? Right now, there is only one announced Republican candidate, and that is General Don Bolduc.
Right.
And he's the only official candidate.
They're just all trying to watch and see what happens and see how the winds are blowing before they put their toe into the water. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I think that all Democrats right now are, this is the time that you want to take them on, because I think they're vulnerable right now.
They are very vulnerable.
And boy, do we need people to stand up and talk about the differences that are at stake here, right?
Yeah.
How the different stances will work out.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, I don't think Democrats have ever been more vulnerable than they are right now. And, you know, we need a strong candidate. And I love General Bolduc. He is a terrific guy. And he may be a little bit radical for some in the Republican Party. But to me, he is a terrific candidate, having served our country so long and so well. 10 tours of duty in Afghanistan. Yeah. I mean, he knows better than most what is going on the international scene, which is so important, because I don't think our current leader has a clue. I mean, you saw the way that was handled in Afghanistan. Yes, it couldn't have been any worse.
No,
it could not have been any worse.
In every way.
In fact, you know, somebody said, and I won't say who the source was, but somebody said Joe Biden would have been much better off after he won the election just to go to a beach somewhere and not do anything.
Oh, my goodness.
And just let the Trump policies
stand. Stay in place.
Yeah, just have them stay in place.
Well,
not touch anything.
No, they had to demonstratively show they were going to rip it all out.
Yeah.
That was the whole point.
And they did.
They did.
Look where we are.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Yeah.
We're doing great.
Look where we are as a result of that. And it all started opening day, January 20th. Of that inaugural day, Joe Biden cancels and puts an end to the Keystone Pipeline, which, you know, first of all, cost 11,000 jobs right off the bat.
Right at the top,
That's one thing. Secondly, it ruined our energy independence and made enemies of our neighbors to the north in Canada.
Indeed. And this all happened. You have to wonder how he comes into office and think in any way that any of that's not going to happen. Like, that's common sense logic, right? Why was he so willing to let all this stuff happen on that one pipeline?
Because I don't think he had any awareness of anything that took place. You hit it right on the head. He's the figurehead.
Okay.
You know, and he's not pulling the strings. We know that. He's not capable of it.
Yeah.
He is absolutely not capable of pulling any strings.
Mm-hmm.
He is a puppet. The strings are being pulled.
I do agree with that.
He is definitely a puppet.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's always has been considered a moderate, but these are not moderate steps that he has been taking.
So I wonder who's behind pulling the strings.
Well, I mean, it's been speculated. I mean, Susan Rice has always been discussed.
Her name's always in there.
Is always in there, is right. And there are other Democratic operatives who are doing it that probably we have never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not Joe Biden, folks.
Mm-hmm.
We know that for sure, because he's not capable of it.
Yeah.
Cognitively, he is not capable of doing much of anything. He's not.
Just tell us what you think. That's great. I love it.
Well, he's not. We know that. I mean, people want to hide that and walk away from that.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Poor Joe. Oh,
yeah,
well.
Poor Joe. Yeah. Poor Joe. He has made so much money.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have four homes on the salary of a United States senator.
Yeah.
You
well,
don't.
You, when you start watching all of those senators that are in there, you know, 4 years out,
yeah.
they like quadrupled their, you know, the amount of money and product and, or not product, but, you know.
But he was never out.
Yeah.
He was never out. He,
no.
he never
He's a lifer.
Left. Yeah. But he had so many deals. He and his family have had so many deals.
Yeah.
Well, on the side, and this is not speculation. It is well documented, folks. But
right.
you'll never hear it.
Right.
You will never hear how not only Hunter Biden but his brother
mm-hmm.
is so much involved, and there's so much graft involved with the
totally.
Biden family.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so to the point where it's you know in right wing circles. You know, it's called the Biden crime family, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what they are.
Yeah.
They have stolen and cheated so much over the years, but you're
away
never going to hear it.
That's right. They've gotten
never
away
gonna
with
hear
it.
Never going to hear about it,
yeah.
except right here on WKXL.
That's right, Ken. You tell them. I love it. I love it. You know what? We have, I wanted to bring something up. We were talking a couple of weeks ago about the executive council.
Yes.
And how... you know, the conservatives on the executive council finally voted for this, you know, millions, 20 million plus, to come into New Hampshire for assisting, you know, COVID funds and other
right.
things,
yeah.
right? Well, that money must be flowing pretty good now. I went on Indeed. You know, Indeed is a job listing.
Yes, yes.
And yeah. believe it or not, I watch Indeed because it can give you a lot of information. It really does.
Okay, I'm waiting for the other shoe to
so
drop here.
There were about 15 listings in different parts of New Hampshire where the CDC is hiring folks here in New Hampshire for statistics, for all kinds of information, and you know, starting the good old database, you know, from COVID.
Yeah.
15
new jobs,
CDC.
And probably high-paying jobs, too.
CDC.
Yeah.
So you see the money that was attached there. I think what happened was these councils must have been so pressured, because they turned it down first.
Oh, yeah. 4-1.
They must yeah. have been pressured by our governor. There's no other way you can say it, because that money was coming in and was going to flow, and who knows who was promised what when. And that faucet had not been turned on yet. So that discussion is really hot still, very much so, with New Hampshire folk. And there was something on a website called Granite Grok. Granite Grok, you know, is like the number one blogging group in New England,
mm-hmm.
okay? And they were talking about how disappointed they were in councilors Dave Wheeler and Joe Kenney. And I agree with that because I know both men. And you could never have convinced me that they would have ever voted for that money and the strings that would come into our state with that money. But they did. And they're taking a lot of heat for it. And so there was somebody that I had put out a question in there. One wonders why someone who had so many years of real conservative values and votes would make such changes. And this was a response, I'm not going to tell you by who, but it was a great response. Can I read it?
You can read it.
I think this was the response. I think it generally true for a few reasons. The first is outright bribery by government agencies representing the governor, House Speaker, or president, offering priority support of XYZ projects in their districts over other politicians' set of projects elsewhere. The second is the threat of withholding campaign funds and party support in the next election, threatening to get some more pliable candidate that better appeals to the progressive side. This is done to limit the amount of actual conservatism that gets implemented and prevents any real change in the system. The third is the threat of revealing sensitive information about the politician to the public, even if it should jeopardize the party, this would actively cover up or, you know, not allow anything to be moving forward, right, in a conservative vein. I'm sure there are many other ways that the system and its adherents maintain their corrupt ways. So 3 points. And you know what? Very thoughtfully written. And I believe that all three of those went into play to get that money into New Hampshire that's now flowing freely and, you know, pushing COVID testing, pushing COVID vaccines, boosters, bringing people into schools they're now having opt-in and out documents for parents to sign if you want to have your kid diagnosed in school. If you have to opt out, they know which families are opting out of the services.
Yeah.
It's not opt-in. See, opt-in would give you those that do. It doesn't necessarily give you names on those that don't.
Right.
They want opt-out.
Yeah.
Horrible.
COVID has been a very divisive issue. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
And will continue to be.
Oh,
I'm
fear.
Sure.
Fear is a wonderful club.
For years to come.
Yeah.
It is going to be an issue. And in my mind, it was the issue that cost Donald Trump his presidency.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way, if in a COVID-free world, that Donald Trump would not have been reelected.
Maybe. I don't know if I'd go that far. I know COVID definitely hurt him. But I think that the speak on the left was getting so heated because they were getting so frustrated and they were being, you know, cast aside by the policies that Trump was putting in. I think that they were just going to gut him any way they could. And it just got worse and worse, and then COVID hit, and then it was, you know, just kept going, right? I don't think that they would have ever allowed him to come in again. They would have found something else to get him on.
Yeah, I don't know, though, because things were going very well financially. The economy was doing great.
Yeah, but the rhetoric was ugly. They were crazy, hated this man. I mean, like, I remember hearing things thinking, my God, their life is like turned upside down because Donald Trump is president. What did us that watched Obama for 8 years derail our country? What did we do? We didn't go crazy. We kept our life going. We worked for what we wanted to do. We pushed on, but we weren't deranged. They could say that, you know, the Trump folk were the crazy ones, but the truth is, The leftists showed.
And it continues to this day.
Oh, no kidding.
Trump derangement syndrome.
It is a real thing.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It is an absolutely real thing. There's no question about that. This is In Touch. This is a real thing, too. This is Real People Radio right here. In Touch with Cale and Cormier. Ken Cale, Jane Cormier, 1450 AM, WKXL, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in the Manchester area. That's our brand new signal covering Manchester, Goffstown, Bedford, and beyond. And we're glad to have you with us. And don't forget, all our great programming can be heard on nhtalkradio.com. 1450 AM WKXL, 103.9 on the FM dial in Concord, 101.9 in Manchester. It's In Touch with Cale and Cormier. And we have been talking politics here.
We have.
On this edition of In Touch. And it's fun to get Jane fired up.
Oh, well, you know, you were pretty fired up today,
too. Me? I was.
Yes, you were.
But I truly believe, and we know how the last election went from a technical standpoint, as far as so many absentee votes. And, you know, we saw more absentee votes. We saw drop boxes where votes could be dropped off weeks in advance.
Yeah.
There was a lot of reason for people to question the outcome of the election because, Lord knows, had it gone the other way, you think it was questioned because the Democrats won. If Trump had won again,
can you imagine?
It would have been questioned to this day.
Yeah.
By the mainstream media and every Democrat you could possibly name if Trump had prevailed.
Mm-hmm.
But they did their best for Trump not to prevail in the election. And so what's going to happen? Let's take the midterm election. I don't want to see voting going on for months prior to the election, or let's say 1 month prior to the election day.
Absolutely.
You don't want to see that because so much shenanigans
can happen,
can take place. And even if it doesn't, there's going to be that specter
of it.
Of shenanigans
that's
taking
right.
place.
That's right.
Even if there's none.
See, that's common sense, though.
Well,
you have too much.
Well, you know, why can't we go back to the old days?
Yeah.
You know, we have one day to vote. Now, you know, absentee ballots are fine. I got absentee ballots for my late mother when she still wanted to vote at an older age. And that's fine if you're incapable of going to the polls on the specific day that you're supposed to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're, you know, are going to be out of state, if you're serving in the military, or if you have a job that
sure.
takes you out of state, or if you're a student out of state, you know, that's fine. The absentee ballot, there used to be some stringent rules
right.
put on who could get those absentee ballots. Now, you know, they're giving them out like cornflakes. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
But whatever. Let's not do it. Let's have one election day. Of course, there will be primary elections prior to the election
mm-hmm.
in November, and that's fine. But still keep the same rules in place where it's one day
mm-hmm.
To do it. Now, there are some, and I am on this bandwagon, Jane, there are some who believe that election day, especially presidential election, maybe not the midterms, but presidential election years.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be a national holiday.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're saying that that would eliminate a lot of these reasons why people can't get to the ballot.
Correct. Box. People say, oh, I'm working.
I have not heard that. So where have you heard that before?
There's been some talk about that
wow.
in the past. But
that's smart. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, make it a holiday. Would it be a national holiday? Lord knows we have enough of them already.
Yeah, right.
So why not every 4 years make the presidential election day a national
wow.
holiday?
I love it.
Once every 4 years.
Wow. Great idea.
Well, it's really not mine, but, you know, I believe in it. I think it is a good idea.
Have they tried to do it? You know, because, I mean, I've been paying attention for a number of years. I've never really heard that before.
Yeah.
So has that ever been...
I've heard it discussed on various shows and what have you, but I don't think it has ever been presented as a bill of any
kind.
Why
don't they put it in? That's a good idea.
Yeah. Why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, especially with, you know, all the difficulty we had last time around.
Yeah.
That just can't happen again. You cannot have drop boxes 8 weeks in advance of any election. I don't care, you know, what
right.
it's for. You can't do that.
They don't want security at the ballot box, though.
Yeah, they don't. They really and truly don't. And that last time around was a mess.
Totally.
And I know COVID was a big factor there. But you can't carry that on. You can't
They'll
blame.
They'll try.
They will try. They will definitely try.
We're going to have another variant.
You know, you just can't, yeah. You can't make it an excuse any longer. And
yeah.
No, you got to go back to one day. And, you know, maybe it should down the road be a national holiday.
Yeah.
And I don't think that would be a bad idea.
I think it's a great idea.
And then there would be very few excuses.
Mm-hmm. Or fewer, for sure.
Fewer, yes. Yeah.
Less hard to, or be more hard to skirt them.
So in your next campaign, Jane, why don't you make that one of your...
Well, I mean, we can't do it locally. It wouldn't have to be federal.
It would have to be federal. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not running for Senate?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
The House? They
wouldn't have me. I'd be one of the first people they would freeze out. I want you to know that there were people that actually said that behind the scenes. When I ran against Gatsis for executive counselor years ago, I had a very well-connected person. And this person told me, within like 3 days of my announcing, that the party has decided to freeze you out. You are not going to get any money. They're going to tell everyone to not support you, and you will be frozen out of the primary. And
you were the Republican Tulsi Gabbard before there was a Democrat Tulsi Gabbard.
And we tried hard to get debates and everything.
Yeah,
our campaign was a nasty campaign, believe it or not. But I said tough, you know, don't give me money. It's okay. I'm not folding. I'm staying in. So it does happen, even on little bitty, you know, New Hampshire scale.
Yeah. And I can see that happening because it does happen on the national scale, too. And the Democrats certainly did that with Tulsi Gabbard, who far and away, in my opinion, was their best candidate, really, in 2020.
Yeah, but that was their best candidate if you wanted someone that was right of the line, a little bit right. They wanted someone wholly, you know, left.
Yeah. They did.
Yeah.
And, you know, that probably would have been Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
But they stepped in and would not allow Bernie to win.
Right. See, they're playing the game that the real communist section, you know, he is a communist, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't he part of the Communist Party?
I don't think he's a communist, but... I thought
he was actually with the Communist Party.
I know he had his honeymoon in Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't believe he is...
He's socialist.
Technically, right? He's certainly a socialist. Certainly a socialist, but
yeah.
not a communist.
Okay.
I certainly don't believe. But at any rate, we will continue. We'll do a little research on that here at 1450 AM WKXL, 103.9 FM in the Concord area, 101.9 FM in the Manchester area. It is In Touch with Cale and Cormier right here on WKXL. We're back. It's In Touch. Cale and Cormier, we're heading down the home stretch of this program, and it's been all politics so far.
It has.
All politics. I often wonder, and nobody has ever given me a good answer, although I think it's pretty obvious, as to why the Democrats did not embrace a candidate, especially a female candidate.
I know.
Like Tulsi Gabbard.
She
to me would have been their number one candidate. She is extremely well spoken.
Yeah.
And
she's
you know,
too well spoken.
A veteran. She has served her country. She has served her country in Congress, although she's not in Congress right now.
Mm-hmm.
She's relaxing, having a good time in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
She to me should have been their nominee.
See, but if you look at their party. They're divided themselves.
Yeah, oh.
Right? They have the left wing that's way far out. And so the powers that be probably think that they wanted someone in the middle of that.
And that's precisely what Joe Biden was perceived to be.
Right.
Somebody in the middle. Somebody who's been around Washington for 50 years, folks.
Right.
50 years.
And then we'll run
it. And that's what they're doing. They're propping him up.
Right.
You see what kind of a campaign he ran.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Yeah.
He was in his basement all the time.
Yeah, poor thing.
Yeah.
It's almost, you almost feel bad for that guy, you know, he's so feeble.
I wouldn't go that far.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, that must be a hard place to be, knowing that you're just, maybe he doesn't even know he's not there. I don't know.
I don't think he knows very much.
Yeah.
You know, why they didn't embrace Tulsi Gabbard, they certainly embraced Kamala Harris, who has nothing. I mean, she brings nothing to the table.
She was the first one out in the primary, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was out
right
before
out.
New Hampshire. She was out before New Hampshire.
And then she makes it to VP.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, we know why.
Yeah, we do know why.
We know why. Remember in that debate, one of the debates, Biden was asked if he would name a woman as vice president, and he said, oh, of course. Yes, I am. That's what my intention is.
Was this after she called him a racist?
No, it might have been.
Yeah.
It might have been,
okay,
because she did.
She did.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I remember seeing it.
Yeah. And, but I'll tell you what, Tulsi Gabbard, in one of the debates, took Kamala Harris to task.
Yes, she did.
Yes.
Yep.
And, you know, made her look foolish.
Yep.
And maybe that's why they don't like.
The truth will do that.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And maybe that's why they don't like Tulsi. I don't know, but for whatever reason, to me, she was the number one candidate.
Well, maybe she'll come back.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I think she's had it with the system.
Yeah,
I don't blame her. Yeah.
You know, it's hard to watch it all when you're in it.
Yeah.
Even in little bitty New Hampshire, right?
Right, yeah.
To just watch how corrupt it is, it's...
I mean, it's hard to imagine who the candidate will be from the Democrat side in 2024 for president. I mean, there are so many, I think, outstanding Republicans out there that, you know, are capable of running. I would love to see Mike Pence run.
Mm-hmm.
I like Mike Pence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tom Cotton, the senator from Arkansas.
Love him, too.
Yeah.
Good.
Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor.
Yeah.
I mean, you go on and on listing the Republican hopefuls.
Yeah, people that could run and be thought of as a real, you know, potential.
A viable candidate.
Candidate,
and there
yeah.
are many Republicans out there.
Yep.
Democrats, I couldn't think of one right now that you would want to put up there as your presidential candidate.
Who knows? Maybe better times are coming.
I don't know. I hope it stays just the way it is. I really do, because if they put up a viable candidate, he or she may win.
Well, no, I'm saying that maybe good times are coming in that a more common sense, you know, governing from at least center.
I think
if
common
not
sense,
right of center.
Common sense has gone out the window.
Yeah.
Look at they put us on the radio.
Ah.
And that's going to do it for this edition of In Touch with Kale and Cormier. Ken Kale, Jane Cormier, thanks for joining us today right here on WKXL.